Good afternoon, Crew 17. Good afternoon. I bring warm greetings from our brothers and sisters in Christ in Agape Europe, and especially Agape UK. It's a privilege for me to be here to represent Agape, although they have a lot of better people to speak and represent Agape today. So I've decided to stick to my notes and to this, podium. We call it something else in England. I've decided to stick to my notes, and hopefully I will not leave anything that I mean to share with you. My name is Armand, as you heard. The way to remember my name is to think of the brand Armani. Without the I at the end, richness and the fame, the rest is the same. I was born in Iran less than a year before the Islamic Revolution of Iran took place in 1979. Now the ladies know how old I am. About 2 years later, between Iran and Iraq, the war between Iran and Iraq began. This war lasted for about 8 years, and I lived and grew up in this war zone city. Although the new regime was Islamic, encouraging and forcing Islamic ways of life, and despite that I had been born in a Muslim family, I did not practice my religion. My father is still an atheist. My mother used to pray 5 times a day, but only during Ramadan, which is the time that Muslims have to fast for a month. None of my siblings practiced the religion, although we were all taught everything we needed to know at the school to be a good, faithful Muslim. However, I knew God existed. I knew He was holy, He was perfect, He had created everything, including me. But in my heart, I was not a Muslim. I did not practice my religion. And I knew that God was not happy with my lifestyle. I had girlfriends, I lied, I drank alcohol, and other things that was not acceptable in my religion and was forbidden. So the only place I saw fit for myself was hell. God was away and in a far distance, who was ready to punish me when I died. There was no relationship between Him and me. I had no hope to go to His paradise. Having said all of these, I really wanted to meet God, see Him before ending up in hell. So when I was 22, a year or so after the war between Bosnia and Serbia had finished, opportunity rose for me to leave Iran in pursuit of a better life, better opportunities, and happiness. I flew out of Iran to Bosnia, and that's the only legal part of the journey. From there, by land and illegally, I went from one country to another one. Basically, I was smuggled from Bosnia to Croatia, then into Slovenia, then Italy, then France, then Belgium, and then by mistake back to France and again to Belgium, from where I meant to enter the UK. The journey took 25 days. I got into these boxes underneath big lorries where they keep pallets and spare tires. It works, but do not try it. I got in there and hid with 5 other people, including my twin brother. And we got onto a ferry. The ferry got onto, got to the UK a few hours later. The whole journey from Bosnia onward was very dangerous. It was like movies, trying to avoid the police, traveling on foot from one border village to another one. No food, no paperwork, no documents. If I knew it was like that, I would have never tried it. However, I arrived in Birmingham in December 2000 and applied for asylum. I applied for asylum because I did not know what else to do. All I knew was that I had to represent a reason for why I was in the country, otherwise the government would deport me. So I asked my father, what should I say? My father, being an atheist, he said, present an application for your asylum based on religion. Say you were interested in Christianity, You were searching, you wanted to become a Christian. The authorities found out about you. They arrested you, they interrogated you, and said, if you do become a Christian, we will persecute you. So they released you on bail for to come back for further questioning, and that's when you left the country. Obviously, this story was completely untrue, but it did not matter to me. What mattered most was to find a way to stay in the country. So losing my religion, taking a new one, was okay to me. I said to myself, I will learn about Christianity. So when it comes to present my application, give evidence at the Home Office interview, I can defend myself. The problem was, I knew nothing about Christianity. I had never met a Christian. I had never been to a church. I had never seen a Bible, let alone reading it, understanding its message, and really knowing what it says. And that's the case for the majority of Iranians, even other nations of Muslim background. Going to church in Iran, even today, is very difficult. All I knew about Jesus was that he was a prophet, he did some miracles, and he had a book, something very similar to Islam. I had not heard that he had died on the cross and rose from the dead. The first couple of years living in England was very difficult as an asylum seeker. I was away from everyone I knew, apart from my twin brother who had left Iran with me. He does not look like me. We are unidentical, but I have two sisters. They are identical and they are twins. Four of us. Our stories are very similar, my story and my twin brother. You can imagine. We did not speak English well. I still don't do that well. We did not like the weather. I still don't like that one too. No friends, no money, no work permits, nothing. Things weren't changing fast enough. After a few months, I got to enroll at a college to learn English. My teacher turned out to be a Christian. He came to our flat after a few weeks, opened his Bible, and read this verse, John 3:16, to us. For God so loved the world that he sent, he gave his only begotten Son, so whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He asked me to translate this for my friends and my brother. I did not understand what he was saying. So you can imagine about others who were in the room. He then introduced us to the Iranian Fellowship, a Bible study which was run in Farsi, my own language, and it was run by Iranian converts. I was very lazy to go there regularly. When I did go, it was only to gain information about Christianity to help with my asylum application. But everything was like a shock from there on. The very first thing that I really grabbed my attention was that Christians sang and called God their father. They said God loves them as their father, as a father loves his children. I could not understand and accept that. I'd never heard that before. I knew how much my father and the way he had loved me. I had experienced his love every day, and I still do, despite the fact that since I became a Christian, I have not really followed his advice because of different values that we have now and worldviews. But he still loves me and does everything in his power to see me happy. But hearing that God loves me as my father, as I am, with all of my past and sin and weaknesses, that could not be true. I continued going along to the Bible studies until I realized that if there is no relationship between me and God, if I have no hope for future, if I am going to end up in hell, that is not what God wants for me. That is because my heart and my mind is full of sinful and selfish desires. But the good news for me was that God still loved me as I am, as I was, no matter what I had done or my past was like. And to prove that, he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross in my place so that I can be forgiven, I can have eternal life, and not only that, I can have a personal relationship with God and experience him in my life. I remember it was a Sunday at our usual Sunday service after the sermon. I said this to God, I didn't know how to pray, so that's what I said. I said, God, I am sorry for what I am and what I have done. I am sorry, but I cannot change. If you can accept me as I am, I'll be grateful for the rest of my life. And that was 15 years ago. I was baptized in December 2002. God started changing me, my mindset, my worldview, and my desires. I learned that He has a great plan for me. He wants the best for me, and He actually did give the best for me, and that is Jesus Christ. A few months later, after giving my life to Jesus, He gave me courage and strength to tell the truth about my application to the government and the fact that it was completely based on lies. That could lead for me to be deported back to Iran. Praise the Lord, it didn't happen. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been here. But it only took the government 9 years to process my application. Actually, they did not process it at all. They just sent a letter to my solicitors confirming that I had been given a settlement visa to stay in the country permanently. And that's God's grace. Amen. Amen. In 2004, God showed me a need and vision to help fulfill the Great Commission of Jesus Christ amongst Iranians. There are over 80 million Iranians around the world, with about 5 million of them living outside of Iran. More than 95% of these people are Muslims. Because of the Islamic regime and what they have done in the last 40 years, most of Iranians have turned away from Islam, and they are searching for true God, but they have never had a chance to hear the gospel. That is why I joined Agape UK to help a team of Iranian converts in order to see Iranians not only hearing the gospel and being saved, but become multiplying disciples of Jesus Christ. Since then, we have seen thousands of Iranians hearing the gospel in their own language, understanding what it means, and hundreds of them coming to faith and being baptized. Amen. Only in 2015 and 2016, through our small team, we saw 350 Iranians receiving Jesus and making a decision to follow Him. Amen. The photos that you are seeing are all Iranians. All have come from Muslim backgrounds, and you see they are praying, receiving Jesus, and being baptized. It is true, Iran is a closed country. People do not have access to Bibles. You cannot send missionaries to Iran. Leaving Islam for another religion is punishable by death. Christians in Iran are under constant persecution and pressure. But the word of God cannot be changed, can it? That is what we are experiencing in our ministry. Let me finish with a short story. A couple from our team met this young girl on a bus. She was very sad and very depressed. They approached her, greeted her, and shared the good news with her. Then they invited her to our own Iranian fellowship in Birmingham. Although she had already been baptized, she was not a genuine Christian, she told us a few months later. After about 6 months, she received Jesus. Then her mother came to visit her in Birmingham. She saw the changes in her daughter's life. She became interested. After a few months later, she became a believer. And on her next visit to England, we baptized her. Then she went back to Iran and shared Jesus with her other daughter. She became a believer. And in turn, she shared with her husband. And you can imagine where the story is going. The husband became a believer too. All this happened. The whole family became believers in 2 years, one after the other one. Amen. We have established many small congregations throughout the UK and beyond as a result of our ministry in different cities in the United Kingdom: Manchester, Newcastle, Edinburgh, Leeds, Doncaster, Cardiff, Leicester, Wolverhampton, Nottingham, and in Norway, and even in Iran. Our disciples are using every means of communications available to them to reach their families and friends back in Iran through telephone, through Skype, or what we call Skypeship, Facebook, and even text message. Imagine sharing the gospel, answering people's questions by text messaging. Iranians are thirsty. They will give you the opportunity to share Jesus with them when they see you genuinely care and love them. The harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. Our team is willing to invest our lives to see Iran reached for Christ. We work with refugees who usually do not have a lot. It's difficult for them to find good jobs, and it takes them years to settle in a new country. So we need your partnership. We need your partnership because this ready harvest is there for us to reach. Will you invest? Will you pray for us? Will you pray today to see if God is calling you to partner with our ministry? I have a lot of stories to share, but I think, well, I've got three more minutes, so I could share another one. I don't want to take more than what I have to. But I have lots of stories to share. Please do come and find me. I am the only Iranian, I think, in this room, so it's not that difficult to find, and I would be happy to speak with you. God bless you, and thank you for the opportunity.